morning. Today is Wednesday, January the 16th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Sheriff.
Sheriff.
Rex Bone.
It's much shorter. Good morning,
yeah.
We were talking.
I know, you've always played Cowboys and Indians.
We were talking about that, and I have been with the sheriff a lot lately, it seems like. Anyway, how you doing this morning? Happy New Year.
Yeah, to you, sir. Why do they say that? Are you ready?
Go.
Chicken-hearted. Why is a chicken considered symbolic of timidity in the phrase chicken-hearted? I had no clue.
Because they run every time you see the axe at dinner time?
The reference is to baby chicks. Oh. They're very timid and run to hide under their mother's wing in the with the slightest provocation.
I used to do that when I was little, too.
Yeah.
My mother still kind of do it now. Get out from underneath my feet.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, gee. So, new year, new challenges?
Always challenges.
What are you hearing out of Sacramento? I sense.
Well, we've been trying.
There's a big question mark, and that's the biggest risk potential mid year is a change of culture, a change of emphasis, a change of priorities out of the state.
Well, he has started naming cabinet members, and he picked a very strong environmental for somebody out of the Obama's cabinet to be the head of the Cal EPA. I've noticed a couple others, but it's right now he's just picking and choosing slowly from his inner circle. He actually worked for Newsom, and his name escapes me, but he worked for Governor Newsom in San Francisco as the environmental when he was governor or mayor there, so they're familiar with each other, and so he's starting to name his staff. It's really funny; nobody has a real pulse of what's going on. He's got a lot of grand ideas. I know there's a lot of worry because there's a pretty good budget surplus, and we're hoping that doesn't eat away, that we keep growing on that in case when this tide does turn. So
yeah, I heard what $300 million out of the surplus for some project.
After
being sworn in, it's like, well. Really? Okay.
Well, he put his whole budget in within a week of, you know, what his planned budget is within a week. But he's been working on it since the election. I mean, you know. So he's got
and
a
he
pretty
familiar.
Good idea. Yeah. And there's money in there for young youth, for educational things. He is really getting behind and supporting the fire bill, and adding money to that because if we manage our forests and manage these lands, it would make a big difference. We have, I firmly believe that we have too many sticks in the ground. So
is he a manager environmentalist or is he a wilderness environmentalist?
I don't know. That's a good point because I mean he's well known to be up in Tahoe. I mean he's got a restaurant and thing up there and a place up there and he's he lives in I think Marin now or somewhere down that area. Actually lives in Sacramento I guess now.
Yeah.
I think this will be the first time he's really got a lot of forest to manage. I mean, San Francisco has some, but and as the lieutenant governor, I don't know what besides being head of the UC system, he gets in on everything, but I don't know if he gets to
juice.
Yeah. I think he gets to ring the horn, but he doesn't get to step on the throttle. So,
yeah. You remember that growing up too, huh?
Yeah.
Mom stepped on me and I got to toot the horn. Yeah. Okay.
Really? So I don't know exactly how it's going to play out. I know RCRC will be talking about it, about this, the budget. We just got the budget review out and it's fairly interesting. And it's a fairly large budget, and hopefully we can move forward with what he's going to bring forward. And I don't know how much he has to do with everything that's not urban, basically the rural life, and that's what, RCRC is trying to protect. We just, we're not L.A., we're not San Francisco, we're not San Bernardino, we're not a big populace.
Is he a city boy? I asked. You mentioned the restaurant up in the hills. Okay, fine. But I really, I heard something, read something, and have kind of been doing a little bit of digging that there's a distinct difference between metropolitan people and non-metropolitan people. It's outlook, it's politics, it's culture, it's across the board different.
Oh, and I can see that.
And that there's probably some commonality, you know.
Oh,
but
I can
but
see that,
that there is a definite distinction on how you go about things. So
yeah,
I'm wondering if he's a city boy, or if he's a country boy.
Looks like a city boy, but I don't know that for sure. I've only met him twice, so.
Okay. So. Yeah, you can tuck that one away and wear it for a little bit, and
yeah, I imagine he's got a brand new pair of Timberland boots in his closet, but I don't know if they got any dirt in the soles.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's probably the thing now. Timberland now, yeah, I guess, yeah, is being seen as, yeah, the icon of.
Yeah. It is gonna be interesting. It's that he doesn't forget about us, and you know, in the rural part, and that's, we've just, because there's a lot of things that I see he put money in for some of the the AB 109 funding. He increased that a little bit and stuff, and the probationary monies, and he did release some more money for jail or rehabilitation structures. So, you know, and so ours is moving along, and a couple other counties are gonna be able to expand their facilities or update. Some of these facilities are, well, I guess ours is 20 years old already, but.
Happened?
It's over 20 years old. Yeah, but it's over 20 years old, and there's some of these that they're 40 and 50 years old now. Yeah. And quote unquote, in the private sector, a lot of us worked in 80, 90 year old buildings. You know, I worked in a warehouse that was 95 years old, but I mean, you know, it's just.
It is what it is. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
We know you love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Dilnort counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Dilnort and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bohm. Rex, with the change in Sacramento, different priorities and whatnot, Mike McGuire is now in a position of juice.
He's been there a while.
Yeah, and he's got a title. He's got – does that – I would like to think that puts him in a position where not only is there more responsibility – but there's more opportunity to get the rural message, small county message, into the system. Not bake it in, because I know it changes every time there's change, but to get it in. So when you talk about the realignment of the prisons, yeah, great dandy for the state, but when you can't prosecute or even probably shouldn't even bother processing misdemeanors,
yeah,
in the rural counties, something is really messed up, and I know that there's a strong body of thought that as California's population has grown, even if the percent stays the same of those who should be in jail, we're so far behind. It's frightening.
Yeah.
Does McGuire get that to the point where he's going to be able to run with it and really try to persuade, yep, folks, or is he kind of sucked into the morass of Sacramento?
You know, I've always said we're pretty fortunate, both with Senator McGuire and Assemblyman Woods, is they are extremely accessible to all of us up here. They're very open. They you know, Mike and, you know, Senator McGuire and Assemblyman Woods get up here quite a bit.
They do first names. It's,
you know,
okay.
They get up here quite a bit. And they get it. They understand it. They listen. They get, and they have great staffs. I mean, it's great to be the senator, but your staff does a majority of the work. I mean, he has to direct it. He has to lead the orchestra, but somebody else is playing the music, and he leads his staff really well and gets things done and understands the way to. But when it gets out to actually, you know, lead the orchestra, he does a good job both on the Senate floor and Jim on the Assembly floor. Jim fought like hell to get the forest fire bill through, the $1 billion to fix some of this. I mean, you go to most other states, you go to Oregon, go to Alaska. Alaska, the roads are cleared 50 feet back from the road. And they do it for two reasons up there. They do it mainly because of the brush. They don't want fires. But them damn moose have no idea what a road is. They come out from everywhere, and they're not like a deer. They don't just tear up your car. They create deaths.
More like the elk.
Yeah, yeah.
If they were.
Yeah, but there's so many of them up there. So they keep that back. Now, three of the last four biggest fires have all started pretty damn close to the roads.
Right.
You know, and then you know, like the fire over at the campfire at Magalia and Paradise. I was talking to somebody from PG&E, and they'd been over there the month before talking about coming in and doing some drastic cleaning around the lines, clearing and cleaning underneath and around the lines. And they got quite a bit of resistance from property owners, not wanting them to cut trees, not wanting them to come do stuff on their property. They were fine. Quite a bit resistance at a community meeting, and it was just a month before, and then this happened. So it's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't. And I'm not going to blame on that fire from anybody, but I made my second trip over there a couple of weeks ago and took over some money that people had donated through the Humboldt Cares account we have set up at Redwood Capital Bank is up, and then I toured it, and it affected me for a couple of days because Doug Teeter, who's a county supervisor over in Butte. We went to his house. It's only the fourth time he'd been back to us, but we went to his house, and he says, we haven't even dug through it. There's nothing to dig for. There was absolutely nothing there, and he had six houses in his cul-de-sac, and there was nothing left. And I don't mean just a little bit. There was nothing left. The granite countertops explode and go away. There's shells of cars. But besides that, everything just, it was a two-story home, and it was, I've got pictures. It's as flat as your parking lot. I mean, it had a few little pipes and a few, you know, there was a motorcycle frame. He had two motorcycles, and all he could see was the frames and a little bit of one wheel. And it was utterly, I've never seen, put it this way, downtown Paradise, the Burger King, the McDonald's, the Taco Bell, and I think the Carl's Jr., the only reason you could tell what they were is they still had, one of them had their sign up, the other ones had their drive-through signs up, and you could tell by their colors. Besides that, they were completely leveled. I mean, it was just completely devastating.
So as we look at some of the challenges that the state does have, and this seeming interest in spending the surplus, how is the county insulating itself from potential issues? Is the county setting aside more in the contingency fund?
We're trying to, and at the same time, as we do that, we try to make sure we compensate our employees. We have to, you know, we're right in the middle of the ADA decree. We're making improvements in our buildings because we have a lot of old buildings that have, once we open a wall up to do an ADA project, we find out, oh my God, now we have an asbestos or a lead paint problem. Or even worse, we have a termite or a dry rot problem. And so nothing's ever easy. And the ADA staff and the crew, I mean, we've got like, I don't know how many people we have working on. But it's that federal decree is a big deal. And we're meeting our timelines. I think we have 14 or 15 of our buildings signed off, fully compliant now. And they are putting, our staff is putting a huge effort to meet this guideline. And realizing this guideline was set
When is the deadline?
The deadline's like in, we have to hit bullet points.
Right.
We don't have a drop dead date. They've given us a line of attack, and I think it goes out 6, 8 years or 10 years.
So we're going to hear about it for a long time.
Oh, we're going to hear about it for a long time. Sorry. But we're moving along as we do it, you know. And
so they are recognizing the efforts that are being made.
Oh, we're having to change parks. We're having to do, I mean, we just changed all the benches in the front of the courthouse because they had a little sloped back, and they have to have a straight back. And so we just changed.
It would be a little easier to just take them out.
You know.
Sorry. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Supervisor Bone from the 1st District. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, along with Murphy's Markets. Rex, as you're looking at some of the different things that are there, I think that there was a hope, I don't know how realistic it was, to be able to undo some of the stuff. You know, the prison reform. I know that's hit so many different areas in so many smaller communities. Is there any inertia, any thought, anything that this is not a county issue?
I don't think
that this is really something.
I don't think it's an issue that moves at all, because the state, that was a big financial turnaround for them. They put a big burden on the counties, gave us some money, what they thought we could run it for, even though they were using a lot more money to run it. And says, you guys can do it cheaper than us, and you guys have a better knowledge. And it's really, Bill Damiano is retired, and we were extremely lucky to have Sean Brennerman step up.
Yeah, but like Juvie Hall. You know, I mean, I don't think that's fair necessarily to use that as a reference point of what's going on. But with this lack of capacity, and for the state just to step back and kind of play Olay defense, really doesn't seem like, if people were of the local community, that they would ever have done that. You know, if you get insulated in Sacramento, okay, at least you might be able to understand a little bit. But if you're of the community, there's no way in the world, because you see what happens. Pick a town. I mean, if we're going to pick on San Francisco, let's look at San Francisco. What has that done in the last 2 years for San Francisco?
Yeah.
It's not a positive. You know, Santa Rosa's got theirs. We've got ours. Everybody has got theirs because there's no capacity. Well, if there's no risk for abhorrent behavior, why are you going to change?
Yeah.
And I think that's some of what we're running into. So I was wondering if perhaps McGuire or Woods or any of the newly electeds were coming in with an attitude that, you know, we can't do what we've done the last 5 or 6 years on this. We got to step up.
I think they're aware, but I think they also realize it's probably a little bit like peeing in the wind, that they're not going to, you know, they're not going to come out very well on the deal, because I don't think there's support for it, because I think the larger cities have fared better than the rural. They've had the staffing. They've been able to get a little bit more money. They've just, you know, they've got a little more juice, and I think they've been able.
But look at San Francisco. I mean, they're losing conventions. There's discussion nationally about what is going on. People are avoiding the city that are in the neighborhood that wouldn't qualify as tourists. Businesses down. I mean, there are impacts to what's going on, and to ignore it doesn't seem like not only the proper thing or the ethical thing, but there's the fiduciary responsibility.
No, we're doing a little bit of that right now, fighting. There's people that are just really, really upset because next to them there's a public piece of property, Caltrans, City, Eureka, or County, but it's next to their business, their property, and everything else. And there's the new law that came in the 1st of January where we're supposed to allow people to sleep on public properties and at night or whenever they want to sleep. And the problem is we're trying to get a definition. Sleeping and building a camp with tents and, you know,
sleeping
a privy,
is what we did in the middle privy, of summer growing yeah. up in the field at yeah. Sequoia Park.
But privy, you know, they're digging privies. It's got to be quite a problem, and the problem being is there's so much waste left behind. I sometimes think there'd be a more accepting fact to the hard times that somebody is you know house deficient or you know doesn't have a roof over their head. I think there would be a little more compassion from more people because there's already a compassionate, a large contingency that helps these people on a daily basis. But I think there would be more buy-in if they didn't leave such a mess where they did camp. I mean, there's places you can dump you pick up your trash and everything else, but they live there for a while, and then we just take out, I mean, thousands of dollars of trash every month we have to clean up. And I think if we could find a way to educate at the same time, saying, okay, you can sleep here, but in the morning, take your food wrapper, take your bags, take your...
Accountability and responsibility.
Yeah, but take your stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that's...
Yeah, would there be pushback? Is there a pushback if that is going to be suggested?
I don't think so. I think it's something we have to... You know, we're looking at... You know, we've got a lot of housing coming in. There are some units being built that I don't think there will ever be enough units, because I think this is such a...
Well, not if they're free.
This is, I mean, and the thing is, this, you know, I tell people this, and I don't try to pass the buck, but I mean, it is so... I mean, talk to our former police chief Andy Mills down in Santa Cruz. It's terrible down there. It's terrible in Redding. I mean, you could Google any city and follow the word homeless. And I've got to applaud the people that are trying to do something about it. I mean,
that's what I was saying. The one unifying thing here is California.
And there's a huge chunk. There's $2.5 billion. There's a huge chunk of money that Mike McGuire and a few others fought of housing monies that are available, that are coming available to DHHS, and we're applying for them and looking for projects to build and partner with people to get these people off the streets.
To be brutal, are they interested in the housing?
Not all of them. Not all of them. There's some you'll see around town, and you know, without being specific, there are some around town that are financially set and have a house, and they would be happy sitting on a bench all day and all night. That's just their temperament.
It won't take care of the situation.
They won't all go away, because some people just like living out in that realm. And I don't think it's that many, but what plays into this, I think if they were of sound body and mind, they wouldn't like what they were going through. But I think with the mental illness, because I mean, the numbers I hear are 70-75% of the long-term homeless have some sort of mental issue.
I think that's what Maggie said last week.
And I would figure 20-25% is a serious mental issue. You know, our jail has turned into the largest mental health institution in the county. So, I mean, it's the issues we have with the people that yell at cars going by, or the ones that have animated conversations with the rabbit, you know, or whoever he's talking to. I mean, Jimmy Stewart flashback. But, I mean, it's that's the ones we want to get help, because sometimes some of those people can get back to a level if they just take their medications. But they're not in a situation, they're not in an environment where they are under control of their medications or can take them on a regular basis.
Almost like a guardianship.
I always feel bad for our DHHS employees, because they work really hard to get answers, and then it's just, you know, the cards never fall into place.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44. We'll be back with more from Rex.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The new Los Angeles flight is a great success. The planes have been full, so book now for your holiday travel. Don't miss getting a flight home for the holidays. And just in case you haven't heard, we'll have direct flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a couple hours away from the Mile High City whenever you want to go. This makes connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org. Happy holidays.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. Back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. So, Rex, what kind of year is calendar year 2019 going to be? What do you see out there on Rex's magic list, if you could check off two attainable things this calendar year? What do you think they'd be? Do you have an idea yet?
Road improvements are always. I've been really happy with Public Works, because they've been doing a great job, and they've actually been when they run shy, they've been hiring. There's, you know, they hire a local contractor in an area where they're at, out in the hills, so we don't have the 2-hour mob time to get there and back, the drive time, and having them do the grading, maybe patching or anything else like that, and that's been working out real well. We do have money to change a bunch of culverts, because I mean, big road failures come from small road culverts going out. So we're going around trying to get the culverts changed before we have that big road failure.
That wasn't the theory for 299, was it?
Was that? Yeah. Oops. But I mean, so the public works is because we have with SB 1 with the road tax increasing, we'll get about $7 to $8 million out of that. And since our budget's somewhere around 30, that's a big chunk of change to these guys. And it's not going to go all for new employees or not. It's going to go for boots
stuff,
on the ground.
Stuff on the ground.
But we might hire contractors, which is better. I mean, sometimes that works out real well. We need our crews to be fully staffed as we get retirement and stuff like that. We need to. You got to remember, that's a department that used to have 150 people. Now they have 60. So, I mean, from 30 years ago. So, I mean, that's and we don't have any less roads. So, I mean, and our roads show.
Unless we ignore them.
It was said in Gavin Newsom's budget. He says, our roads are in terrible shape because of neglect throughout the state. And so what we're doing is getting on top of that.
Look at 299 from Willow Creek to the coast.
Yeah. There are
bridges that need an attention, and there's a little bit that's going on, and that's kind of cool, but you don't have a lot of influence on that. But public works with the roads being one, what else would be there for you?
And probably one of Jimmy's favorites and everything else is the RCD in the Salt River Watershed Council. The Salt River finally coming to complete, getting that last little step, because that's a $38 million project that's going on. And then I guess the last project, and it's probably going to be very controversial, because is seeing where the wind energy projects ends up in on Monument Ridge. It's going to visually...
Is there a pushback?
Visually, there's some neighbors. It's going to be visually impact some neighbors. I mean, and quite a bit on of them, And I just... And they're friends of mine, and I... And it's hard for me to weigh a $250 million project and $2.5 million a year in taxes. It's a tough call.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how that one plays out, too.
Yep.
Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
See everybody tomorrow.